straight into the word. I've already read into your hearing the passage on last week. We're still in 1 Chronicles 22. And we're going to go into our first installment on our how to leave a godly legacy of faith. And so you don't have to stand and read. We're not going to read the word. Just go back into 1 Chronicles 22 in your Bibles. I like what Brother Greg said, going back to the basics. Amen. Bringing your Bibles to church. When y'all Bible look like mine, you can tell me you got a good Bible. Amen. So when it look like mine, you can tell me, no, I'm just kidding. Amen. Let's go into 1 Chronicles 22. And what I want to do is, we are talking about leaving a legacy of faith. I'm going to explore the life of David for the most part in this series. I may get away from it, you know, periodically, but I'm going to explore the life of David for the most part in this series. And today we're going to talk about his example of how he left, amen, a legacy of faith, amen, to his son Solomon and to the children of Israel. So as we look at this, I always, by this being, Black History Month and all that, I want to make sure that I always talk about the truth about the truth. So I want to talk a little bit about the truth about the truth as we enter into this conversation with David, as I give a little bit of background of what I call David's Canaanite genealogy. You know that David was, he had Canaanite blood in him, running through him. You do know that, right? You do know that Canaan was the fourth son of Ham. I do know that, right? And Ham was the one whom they said he is responsible for the people of color, especially the Africans, amen, in the Bible. Y'all do know that, right? So David is what we would call, he has this Canaanite blood running through his veins from his, what I call his great-great-great-grandmama, Tamar, which you can find in Genesis, the 38th chapter, down to his great-great-grandmama and great-great-grandfather, Solomon and Rahab, which you can find also in Joshua 2, verse 1, and Matthew 5 and 6. And then they literally brought a child into the world called Boaz. And Boaz is actually the descendant of Solomon and Rahab, and just happened to be his great-grandfather, and by a lady by the name of Ruth, who was Moabitess, which also a person of color. And then his grandfather, Obed, was, of course, what was had by Boaz and Ruth. So he had some Canaanite blood running through his veins, as well as some Moabitess blood running through his veins, as well as Jesse, the father. So we know that David had to have some Canaanite blood running through his vein. What I'm trying to get you to see is I'm trying to dispel the myth of white supremacy in the scriptures. I'm trying to get you to a different mindset. Remember, I told you my philosophy for this year is I want to make sure, as they said in Revelation 3, that we are literally trying to redevelop and strengthen those of us who still remain. And the way you strengthen one who still remains, you begin to strengthen his or her mindset. In order to strengthen their mindset, you got to give them the truth about the truth. Amen. Just in case you was wondering why I went through that little soliloquy, I wanted you to understand that people of color, people who look just like you, uh-huh, are some of our heroes and heroines of the Bible. Uh-huh. People who look like you, uh-huh, come from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through to Revelation. People who look like you and I. So I just thought I'd just kind of fill that in real quickly, as it says, then David, because I look at the word David, verse 1, 21 says, then David said, and I just thought about this, says, do we even know who David is? All we know is that David slew Goliath, and David, as a matter of fact, Sister David said that he was ruddy. And I thought about that, Deacon, and I thought about that term ruddy, it means to have reddish hair or even like kind of a reddish color. So when you have someone who's light-skinned, with a little reddish hair, what do you call him? Call him red. Call him red bone. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to get you to start understanding and focusing your mind on the fact that we and people who look like us were all through the scriptures, even though they try to take us out of the scriptures. That's David. Okay. So not only was he the only one who slew Goliath, but not only did he, you know, was the king of Israel, not only was he, but David had some lineage. And I wanted to understand genealogy and who we are. And so as I was looking at this whole thing about faith, and just I want to kind of give that to you real quick before I forgot about it, we need to understand that faith, you know, they give the definition, y'all know the definition, you know, in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know that. And I always share this. I know when I go through, I go through life, and I go through even just us as a people and the history of Black folk as a people, and I look at the fact that we needed to make sure that we had the foundation of faith in order to make it to where we are today. As a matter of fact, let me be more clear. It's not our faith that got us here. It's actually the faith of our ancestors before us that allowed us to stand in the place that we are. Now, the question is, will we leave now a legacy of faith for now our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren to stand in like our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and mothers and our great-great-great-grandfathers and mothers left for us to stand in? What are we leaving? Yes. See, money is going to go and come. Friends are going to go and come. Power is going to go and come. But at the end of the day, our foundation as a people have always been a foundation of faith. Yes. So before I even get into my points, I want to talk a little bit about faith. What is faith? Yeah, we got the biblical definition of it. What does that mean? Now, we know that the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right. You know, for he who comes to God must first know that he is. Uh-huh. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes. I mean, we got the vernacular down. We got the Bible verse down. But do we really understand what faith really is? When I look at the life of David, I see a life of faith. And so I want to talk just a little bit about faith, because I don't know, Deacon Jackie, if our children really understand what faith is. If I were to go and ask my children right now, I would pray they could tell me what faith is without giving me the definition from Hebrews. And if they can't, they don't know. And if they don't know, shame on me. So parents, you need to make sure your child knows what faith is. Uh-huh. And need to know that it was faith in God that got us to this point. Even though our young folk now they want to kick God out. They need to know that at the end of the day, it is the faith of our foreparents that got us to this point. And if we don't follow in their direction, if we don't follow in their footsteps, God help us. Because there's a storm coming. There is a storm coming, people. There is a storm that's coming. And if we are not ready to be able to weather that storm, and we won't be able to weather that storm without understanding how to stand on the very faith that God has given us. Faith. Is acting like it is so. This is Dr. Evans' definition. I like this. I love it. Faith is acting like it is so, even though it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Faith is acting like it is so, even though it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because Elohim said so. That's faith. In other words, he says, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Yes. See, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Yes. I'm going to let that sit in because I want us to understand as we're talking about faith. Now, I got my points. I'm probably going to get my points, but I'll make sure you understand, you know, I'll make sure you get my points before you leave so you can think on those when you come back next week. But Faith. We need to understand it is acting like God is telling the truth. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Like I said, remember I told you we were going to talk about the life of David. Whenever you get a chance, just start from the book of 1 Samuel, right about the 16th chapter, and start reading about the life of David. It's very interesting, the life of David. And so remember I told you faith is acting like it is so, even though it's not so, you know, that, you know, it might be so simply because God says so. Well, you realize in 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting about maybe verse 13, David gets anointed king of Israel. 1 Samuel. And he's about, scholars say it was between the ages of 11 and 13. So right about in there. So what happened is David gets anointed king of Israel. So in other words, God said, David, you king. But wait a minute. So that means that do I get to go ahead and get on the throne right away, God? No, that don't mean that. See, what happens sometimes, God tells us some things, Brother Merle, and what happens is we think that because God told us that, it's what happened right then. But see, David had to go through a few things. See, because after David was told he was going to be king by God, now, by God. Not by Samuel, but by God. God told him he was going to be king. David became Saul's psalmist. Yeah. If you continue reading in 1 Samuel 16, he became the psalmist for Saul. But then Saul started to resent David. Yeah. Now, remember, David, he's supposed to be king. And so now Saul resents David, but Saul needs David because David is the only one that can soothe Saul's soul by being a psalmist, by playing for him. But he ain't king. I mean, he's king, but he's not king yet. But then, you know, later on, if you go into the 17th chapter, you know, it talks about how David then eventually kills Goliath. Oh, by the way, I made a note here to make sure you understand that Goliath was a Philistine. Some of y'all say Philistine. He was a Philistine. But do you know that the Philistines were actually a descendant of, I got to get this word right, Casluhim. Casluhim was the descendant of Mizraim or Egypt, who was the third child of Ham. So Goliath was a Philistine who was also an African and a person of color. I'm just trying to help you out here just so you understand. So he killed Goliath. Now, mind you, they were also trying to get into the land of Canaan. You see where I'm going with this? And the land of Canaan was founded by Canaan, the fourth son of Ham. I'm just trying to help you out here. And so David kills Goliath, you know, and then all of a sudden now they start talking about how David is, you know, killing his 10,000. I mean, you know, and so, but not mind you, David still is not physically king. So now what happens is David begins to rehearse, and I had to write this down because right before he got ready to kill Goliath, he had to rehearse all that he done to Saul about how he killed the bear, how he killed the lion. And he said, hey, if I did all that, I could beat this dude right here. Because David had what we call experience. I'm going to get back to that. He had what we call experienced faith. And so then Saul began to really go after David to the point where David had to go on the run. He had to flee Saul. That's about the 20th chapter to about maybe the 23rd, 24th chapter of Samuel. And so David is fleeing. Now, mind y'all, here it is. Remember now, David still was told he was going to be king a few years ago by God. Faith is acting like it is so, even though it's not so, in order that it might be so, because God said so. So about So about 16, about no, I'm sorry, about 12, 13, 12 to 14 years later, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4, David becomes king of Judah. That's only part of Israel. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, David becomes king of all of Israel. Guess how long it took David to become king of all of Israel? Just to guess, 15 to 16 years after God had already told him and made him king as a child. I want y'all to think about that. The Lord told him what was going to happen. It didn't happen right away. Faith is acting like it is so because God said so. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Faith is walked out and worked out and worshiped out. Faith, people, is walked out, worked out, and worshiped out. See, when you get saved, you have that seed of faith placed in you. But if you don't do nothing with it, it goes nowhere. I want you to understand what faith is. Faith is simply believing that God is telling you the truth and God can do what he told you he was going to do. Faith is simply putting God's word to work in your life. That's all faith is. And the thing is, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. See, faith comes by you hearing the word of God. Because it's the word of God that connects you to God. But if you don't hear the word of God, you really can't walk in your faith. I ain't gonna say increase. You can't walk in your faith because you really can't increase your faith. All you can do is walk in the faith that God has given you. Because you can't increase what God hasn't given you. But you can walk in what he's given. As you walk in what he's given you, now what happened is it does grow. And here it is. And it's going to sound kind of crazy. It has grown, but it has not grown. Because it's all that's in you. It's the capacity that's in you that you ought to walk in so you can experience what God has for you. That's what faith is. It's walked out. You got to walk it out. But it's also got to be in your work. But it's also, and I'm going to deal with this a little bit later on in the message, maybe next week, but it's also got to be worshiped out. Because in worship, God shows you who he is. In worship, what God does is he reveals a whole nother side of himself to you. Not in praise. Well, praise is you giving God, you know, giving God thanks for what he's done, giving God, exalting God for what he has done. But what worship is you're trying to really see who God is. And as you enter in with him in that sense of intimacy, now God shows another part of himself to you that he's never shown to you before. And just in case you're wondering, I done messed up, I got some flaws, Sister Gwen, I messed up a little bit. I want to tell y'all that our fears, flaws, I had to write this down because I just thought about this. I had to think about this a little bit. But our fears, our fears, flaws, faults, and our fallibilities do not cancel faith out. Our fears, flaws, and faults and fallibilities don't cancel our faith. Now, what it may do is it may hold faith hostage, but it doesn't cancel our faith. Our flaws. David was flawed. I could go down the line, but we ain't even got to talk about that. Let's talk about ourselves. We ain't got got to go to the Bible, Sister Jazz. We ain't got to go to the Bible talk about flaws. I mean, if you want to be honest with yourself. See, I ain't got to, Brother Will, I ain't got to go to the Bible to talk about flaws. I ain't got to go to the Bible to talk about my fallibility. I ain't got to do that. I ain't got to go to the Bible to talk about my fears. But what I do know is that faith, that my fears, my flaws, my fallibilities, none of that cancels out faith. It might hold it hostage, but it does not cancel it out. And I want you to understand that, because some of us think that when we mess up, then, oh, man. But that's not what God has already, he's given us, he's blessed us with faith. I got to keep going, I got a whole lot more to go. And so understand that it doesn't cancel it out. And I can also tell you this. Faith is not a feeling, y'all. Faith is not a feeling. Okay, but it's a fact based on who God is. Yeah. Faith is not a feeling, but it's a fact based on who God is. Because if it was a feeling, I would feel unfaithful all the time. Right. And as a matter of fact, you know, I think about this sometimes, and I think, you know, if God has told me to do something, you know, sometimes I'll find myself doing it, but not really. Like, get, you know, trusting, but I'm going to keep going because God said it. I ain't seeing the result, but because I believe God said it, I'm going to keep going. Uh-huh. Guess what that is? That's faith. Because you do know that many times you can walk in that path with what God has said and not being sure about the path, uh-huh, but you are sure about what he said. Let me make sure you understand that. You want to make sure that sometimes you may not be sure about the actual way, but you know what he said. Yeah, that's right. Amen. So faith, you know, is not a feeling, but it's a fact. And understand this too. Faith, y'all, doesn't have to be loud, but it must be lived. Faith don't have to be loud, but it must be lived. In other words, I don't care how loud you cry, you know, demon come out. That demon ain't studying you. Because if you ain't living that faith, he gonna jump on you too. I don't care how much you scream and shout, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But if it's not yours, you can shout it all you want to shout it. You'll never get it. I'm just trying to help y'all. I'm really just trying to help y'all right today. I want you to understand what faith is. Faith is not you being the loudest in the room. Faith is you being the one that's living it out. I don't have to. I got a whole bunch of, but let me get over here real quick. Because you know, when I say faith is about you living it out, I'm gonna come back to this, but just remember this: faith is taught, caught, and bought. But I'm gonna come back to that. Because many times we can teach it, many times we can catch it, most times we gotta buy it. I'm gonna come to it. All right. Just hold it. But I want you to understand that faith, y'all, you know, it is not merely just you posturing in position, uh-huh, but faith really is you performing that word. Right. See, you can posture all you want to, you can, you know, but if you're not doing nothing, faith not doing nothing. So you got to be able to perform the word that God has said for you to perform. Don't just posture. Don't just, you know, y'all know it means to posture, right? It means to, you know, to position yourself like you something. But ain't saying nothing. And doing less than that. You got a lot of posturing going on in the church, Brother Merle. You got a lot of posturing going on. You got a lot of loudness going on in the church. But we are one of the weakest points that we are as a body of believers, because there's too much posturing and there's too much loudness going on and not enough living and not enough performing the word of God in your my life. And remember this, y'all. Faith is not blind nor ignorant. I'm going to say it one more time. Faith is not blind nor ignorant, but it's beholding and informed. Because faith is beholding to who God is and informed by what he says. Faith is beholding to who God is and informed by what he says. It's not blind. And it's definitely not ignorant. Whenever somebody tell you that you have a blind and ignorant faith, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because your and my faith is informed by God himself and is beholding to who God is. Faith is a very powerful weapon. Because you do know how you get faith, right? See, we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Really quickly, I'm trying to stay within my time here. I want you to understand that when you look at this whole concept of faith and understanding what faith is and how it ties up to your blessings, I want you to get this, and then I want to finish up with this last observation. And that is, understand that our works will demonstrate our faith. We talked about that, how our works demonstrate our faith, right? But see, our faith accesses the grace of God. But when it accesses the grace of God, it accesses what grace has put on hold for you and I in the heavenly places. So in other words, what happens is, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, understand that grace has placed, you know, deposited all of our blessings in heavenly places. But in order for you to get those blessings, you've got to demonstrate faith. In order for you to demonstrate faith, you got to walk, work, and worship in your faith. And as you walk, worship, and work, and walk, work, and worship in your faith, now what happens is you are now demonstrating faith. And as you demonstrate faith, then your faith that you are demonstrating unlocks the blessing, the vault of blessings for you and only you that God has set aside in the heavenly places. Because of his grace. God's grace has given you blessings, but your faith can access those blessings as you work to be able to increase your faith. And the more you increase your faith and grow your faith, then the more blessings you can access because of the grace of God in your life. Now, I'm done, but I want you to understand what faith is, how important faith is to you and I. Faith, y'all, is the foundation of how we have to live our life. Faith is beholding to God. Faith is informed by the word of God. David knew that very well. Remember I told you, faith can be taught, caught, and bought. Because faith can be taught at any given, I can teach you about faith. I can tell you, go to Ephesians 11th chapter. I mean, go to Hebrews 11th chapter, you know, and then let's read down a whole chapter of Hebrews about faith and what faith is and what faith can do and the definition of faith. We can teach faith, Brother Merle. But you also have to understand that faith is not only taught, but faith is also caught. Why do you think we talk about having the assembly of the brethren together at one point in time? Because if you are together with someone, if you are going through something, and then somebody is going through the same thing, and they begin to give testimony on what they've gone through, you realize that, man, if they got it, then I can get it as well. You have now caught the faith of the other person, because now it has been demonstrated to you that it can be done. So don't when they tell you that you can stay at home and do nothing. If you want to increase your faith and walk in your faith, understand it can be taught, but it also can be caught. And it can be caught by you being able to see how God is at work in somebody else's life. But it also can be bought. In other words, your life experience will be able to increase your faith. Because when you go through something, not if, But when you go through something, you're going to realize what the word of God said. You're going to realize who God is. And as you go through, you better cling a little bit closer, a little bit tighter to him. And as you go through, now you realize that, wait a minute, he brought me through this so he can take me through that. You have now bought you some faith. Oh, you missed that thing. You missed that. Because what you need to understand is that when you go through, not if, but when you go through, and you, as long as you live in this lifetime, you're going to go through something. And when you go through, you better go back and remember what God has brought you through before. Because when you go back and remember what God has brought you through before, then now you can go through what's coming before you. Because you know, if God has brought me through that, he can get me through this. David gave us the best example. When David was sitting on his throne in 1 Chronicles 22, getting ready to die, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You missed that right there. "I shall not want." See, David thought about the stuff that he had to go through when he was a little boy. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And yet he lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I have bought the faith that I'm walking in, because God has given me the faith that I'm walking in." He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death." Then he says, "You prepare a table before me." Remembering what, remember when he was at the table of Saul, and Saul trying to get at him at the table. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." See, that was bought faith. Faith can be taught, caught, and bought. Y'all, we have to leave our children a legacy of faith. There is a storm coming. Y'all, hear me when I tell you there is a storm coming. And if we're not ready, it's going to be disastrous for us as a people. As a people. You better learn how to leave a legacy of faith for your children. I'm done. I'll give you my points next week. Well, so you know my points. My point is, faith informs our obligation. Faith increases our observation. Faith infuses our obedience. And faith influences our obeisance. We'll talk about that next week.